Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about one tonight. And so I know our times have changed, and what I'm noticing is that we are creatures of habit. We have a hard time adjusting to change. And so with that being said, MCB Network has noticed that we've had quite a bit of followers drop off that have not been able to adjust to the new times, which is 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 8 p.m. Central Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. But I know, like with anything else, you just have to be consistent and continue, and for people to pick it up. It has to become a habit. So I'm going to continue. At this point, we're going to continue on the new times. I believe that the new times are beneficial for many because it just makes it so not so late in the evening where people really would like to get a chance to catch the show. And if we do determine that the change has really caused a conflict or has really presented a problem for our followers, then we will probably take another look at it and keep it up in prayer to see what's going to be best for our listening audience, your listening audience, especially those who have been dedicated since the show started to be on the show. So if you are one of those dedicated listeners and the new times have thrown you off, please feel free to shoot me a message. I will consider all recommendations. I will consider all opinions. So you can definitely shoot me an email at mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com, and I will consider all concerns. Amen. Well, again, welcome in the studio on tonight. Many of you, some don't look at TV, some don't have TV, some are definitely not on social media, but others are. And you've probably been seeing the series of events that have been taking place in the state, the great state of Texas, and we have been experiencing some natural catastrophes, and so I didn't want to let tonight pass without coming aboard. I had some technical difficulties because during the course of these events taking place, my computer actually crashed, so I am awaiting a new computer, praise God, that was supposed to deliver today, but it didn't. And I know, I'm sure that because of the weather that we have been dealing with, things are a little bit behind. But the show must go on, so we are going on in the show. And for those that may not be aware of what's been going on in the state of Texas, we have been experiencing what they call Arctic blast. Especially in Houston. The reason I'm speaking to Houston is because Houston is the southern region of Texas. We're way down south. We're just sitting right up connected down at the bottom with Louisiana. We're sitting right on top of Mexico. So we have a tendency to get tropical-like weather. We have a lot of humidity here in Houston, and when it gets hot, it gets hot. And so to think of snow and ice is really, truly unheard of. Is something that it's not the norm. It is definitely not the norm. So this storm kind of, even though we've been knowing that it was coming, we just was not prepared, nor could we be prepared for what was going to take place and what we've experienced over the last few days. Many of us been without power. Many of us have been without water, me included. And last night, my power came back on, and my water is on, not at full force, but it's got a light flow. So I thank God for that we, you know, that I didn't have. Some people experience burst pipes inside their homes. A lot of people have water damage, and I just thank God Almighty for His amazing grace. Not because I'm special, not because I'm Coach D, but just God's grace. That I didn't have, that's not my story. I did have some pipes bust outside of my home, but nothing inside, so that's been great. I have been kind of disconnected from the rest of the world because along with not having electricity, we've been experienced, I didn't have internet, and for whatever reason, the phone towers must have been struggling as well because At times I didn't have reception on my phone. I'm seeing today, now that I'm starting to get reception, that I have a lot of messages that I have received, and I'm in the process of returning some of those calls and messages as well. So, again, bear with us. Be patient. The books did go on pre-sale on the 14th of February, and we are going to bring those out to the end of the to the end of this week. Again, I do have some messages that I have to return, so I'm just asking again, please be patient, because literally I'm just getting back up and running and functioning. We will continue the book pre-book sale until tomorrow, pretty much. We have a minimum supply that we are put aside for pre-sale, and so I want to say a special message to my Auntie Marilyn. I love you. I appreciate you so much. I did get your message, but as you could imagine, we here in Houston really was going through, and we are just now getting electricity and some water running. So I'm going to make sure that I just want you to know that I got your message, and I will be reaching out to you as soon as I possibly can. So, again, thank everyone for the amazing response and support of the book that did go on pre-sale on February the 14th. And, again, we're going to stretch that out. We're thinking tomorrow, if not tomorrow, by this coming Sunday, we will stop the pre-sale. I want you to know that anyone that has placed an order for pre-sale, those books you will not be receiving. It's going to take a couple of weeks. Hopefully no more weather will cause any delays. We're looking at those books arriving around March the 5th, unfortunately, around March the 5th. So you will be getting those books hopefully by the 10th, no later than the 10th of March. So with that being said, and because of the delay, we have not decided to launch the book as originally planned on March the 21st, which is this Sunday. We've changed the launch date because the purpose for pre-sales is we wanted those who are purchasing the book pre-sales to benefit. Two ways you're benefiting. One is these are books that you're ordering directly through me, which means I will be sending these books to you, and they will be autographed copies to you. Those purchasing these books through Amazon, they don't get the autographed copy, and they're not getting it for a special price that you all who are ordering pre-orders are getting it for. So those are some of the benefits of pre-ordering the book, is that you save, you save quite a bit on the book, and you get a personal autographed copy of the book. So, again, you still have a few more days. We're only selling so many at pre-sale. Once they're gone, and they'll be sold out. And then you would have to wait until the book launches on Amazon for you to go purchase your book there. So let's get on with the show on tonight. It's been really busy. As I said, I actually been away from home for the last 3 or 4 days, I think, since Sunday when all this started taking place, and I immediately lost my electricity and water. If for some reason the show goes out, I just want you to know that if that happens, that's why. Because what they're doing is there's still millions of Texans that do not have electricity, and what they're doing is what they call a rollout. So they're trying to make sure that everybody could get some electricity. So what we were experiencing last night is either come on, they stay on a couple hours, and then they go out. And then when they go out for maybe a couple hours, and then they would come back on and go out. Since I've been home this evening, I have not experienced that, but if for some reason that happens, that is why. So I apologize in advance, but I just wanted to kind of give you guys that heads up if indeed I disappear. So anyway, long story short, this has been a week, and I was praying and in quiet time, and I always ask. I don't just come on the show and begin to talk or teach. I always ask the Lord, what is it that he has for us on tonight? Not just you all, but for me too. What is it that he wants to share with us on tonight? And I ask that every Thursday. Lord, what is it that you need for us to know? What is the revelation that you want? My prayer when I'm in prayer for Thursday shows is always that the Lord will give us a rhema word, something tangible, something that we could grasp onto, something that we could that's practical, you know, that we could get a perception and that is something that's practical, something that we could apply to our lives, something that will help us in this journey that we call life and as believers, to help us in this walk. And the ultimate goal, I think, for all of us is that we want a closer relationship with the Lord. We want, you know, we want to be in right standing, you know, right standing. We want to be able to make right decisions and we want to learn, you know, we're constantly seeking, Lord, how do I do that? Because we are in constant warfare. You know, we're in warfare with our flesh because our flesh wants what it wants when it wants it, and our spirit is trying to help us be more disciplined. And I don't know about you all, but I have a hard time with being disciplined. But it's the key. It's the key to this walk. It's the success to this walk that we're doing. You know, that we're doing. I want to. When I was trying to find out what the Lord wanted, I just felt like I'm going to share with what he's been sharing with me this week, and I feel like in doing so, maybe some other people would be blessed because he has been sharing with me this week. You know, I've heard a lot of family, you know, that's seen one disaster here in Texas after another disaster. I mean, we've had the floods. I think my car got flooded out. And now we have this storm coming in, and, you know, we have the mosquitoes, and we have the heat, and everybody's like, how can you continue? Why are you still there? And I don't know about you all, but have you ever been in a situation where you know or you truly believe in your heart that God led you there or that God, you know, had you make this decision and choice, but then once you made it, it didn't go according to plan. It didn't look like what you envisioned. You know, I probably spoke about this before when I first moved to Texas because what I envisioned was being retired and doing only nonprofit work, doing only ministry, and that was the vision I seen. I know God led me here. I know he led me here because I believe through faith that he led me here because of just the confirmation after confirmation after confirmation that I received from him. And how many know that God will confirm? He will confirm what he's telling you. He will confirm it through his word. He will confirm it through dreams and visions. He will confirm it through his people. I mean, heck, he confirmed it through a donkey. So I'm just saying he will confirm his word. He will confirm what he's telling us. And so I know that I have no doubt that God was the author of me coming to Texas. And so as I, you know, hearing the negativity, and if you're not careful, you know, family means good, but sometimes it's not good what they mean. And what I mean by that is that I believe that my family members are more, you know, they mean good. They're just concerned about our well-being. They're concerned, you know, about what's going on. Of course, they don't want to see you hurt. They don't want to see you lose. They don't want to see you lost. They don't want, you know, they just don't want to see that. So in their meaning good, they may, you know, tell you things like, hey, you know, maybe it's time for you to come back home. Maybe you miss God. Maybe, you know, I think about stories after stories in the Bible when you think about Job and his friends were just trying to be helpful. His wife was trying to be helpful. And in the process of trying to be helpful, a lot of times we could get bad advice. And if we're not sure that we know what we know that God is the author of where we're at, then we could end up listening to bad advice, and we could easily shift ourselves out of the will of God in our lives. And so as I was thinking about these things and listening to the various opinions and comments and stuff, God just made it so clear to me that I have been blessed here. I have been blessed in Texas in so many ways that is unimaginable. I have lived a good life. I'm living a good life. And I have not missed a beat, glory to God. And I give it all to God. And so when I think about the storm, when I think about things that could be better, when I think about, you know, not being able to sit on my front porch and chew bubblegum and drink lemonade, retired, I still say that I made the right decision. I still love where I'm at in spite of the weather challenges. I still love where I'm at. I don't have any regrets. I don't have any second thoughts. I know that God is in the midst. I know that he has me here for a reason. And when we start understanding that every decision we make in our lives, if we are acknowledging God and we know that God is the author and finisher of our faith, then we have to start knowing and believing that I'm here for a reason. That, you know, this, you know, that this is, if this is happening, this is happening for a reason. And so I just believe that the storm did nothing but allowed me to it strengthened me in my trust with God. So these storms have caused me to have to trust and lean totally on God. And I can tell you, there's been storms that came here that had me upset. I was upset. I was angry. I was mad. I started thinking in my own power, in my own might, how I was going to do things, how I'm going to change things around. Maybe I need to do this. I'm going to sell this. I mean, I started operating in the flesh, survival mode. And this storm, I can honestly say, when it came, I had peace. I had peace in the midst of the storm. I was in the eye of the storm, and I had peace. And I had made up my mind that it is what it is. And whatever it is, God is there. And I'm saying this not to be hypocritical. I'm saying this not to be judgmental, because I just went through another storm. You know, I just went through the COVID storm, as you all may remember, and that storm shook me, right? It shook me. But this time, when this storm came, I remembered the flood storm that flooded out my car, and yes, I'm still here. I remember the storm of the brown grass, and yet I'm still here. I remember the storm of COVID, and yet I am still here. So when the storm of ice and snow came to Houston, guess what? I didn't respond the same way that I normally respond. I didn't operate in the same behavior. Why? Because I remember, I had the touchstone. I remember God's goodness. I remember where he just brought me from. What I remember is this too shall pass. What I remembered is that this is only for the moment. What I see and what we see is temporal. But God is everlasting. And so I just said, you know what, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm a believer. Believe you that you got this all under control. And glory to God, he had it all under control. And so that takes me to I'm gonna go over here to Mark, because I could keep giving you my testimony, but I want to share, because there's something in the Word of God for every situation and every circumstance. God has constantly reminded us through his word from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He's constantly reminding us of his goodness. He's constantly reminding us of his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness. He's constantly reminding us in his word. And so that's why it's important that we get familiar with the word of God, so that when these things come around that pricks our human flesh, that pricks us and causes us to want to respond from a place of the natural, that we could now begin those words. He says, even when we're reading the Word of God, it tells us in the Word of God that he's leaving behind a comforter, that he's leaving his Holy Spirit, and that this Holy Spirit will bring all things to our remembrance. So I read the Word of God, and I don't remember everything bit by bit. But I'll tell you, there's been some storms and some things in my life where I'm sitting there and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will remind me of a parable or remind me of a biblical story or remind me of God's faithfulness, or it'll remind me of a psalm or a proverb or something. You know, it reminds me to let wisdom have her way. It reminds me that he will never leave me nor forsake me. It reminds me that he is here and that there's nothing that can separate me from his love. It reminds me that even upon death, it says, death, we're in thy sting. It reminds me that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why? Because we are believers. And so his word is constant. He knew what we were going to have to deal with in this earth. He knew what we were going to have to deal with in this sinful flesh. He knew. So he provided tools and resources to remind us, yes, it get hard. He ain't never saying that it ain't hard. He ain't never saying that we wouldn't be bewildered, that we wouldn't be devastated. But he's constantly reminding us, this is only temporal. This too shall pass. Weeping only endure for a night. He's reminding us in his word. So let's go to his word. Let's go to his word, because some of us, I just went through a natural catastrophe, a storm. But some of us is going through other types of storms. See, storms ain't just about, you know, rain, sleet, snow, tornadoes, hurricanes. But we go through some life storms. We go through, you know, people are going through life storms. They're going through divorce. They're going through death of a loved one. They're going through so many different things that have them discombobulated. Those are the storms of life. And so the best thing that we could do in the storms, again, is go to the Word of God. So I'm going to go to the Word of God, and I thought this was fit because in this story I'm going to share with you, it was a storm in the natural. It was a storm in the natural. And I want you to hear what Jesus has to say to us when we're dealing with those natural storms, okay, in life, where we're dealing with those natural storms and we begin to fear and we begin to worry and we begin to panic. I don't know about y'all, because I'm sure you guys got it together, but I'll be the worrier and the panicker, and then I got to get my bearings. So this is what he told his disciples. We're going to go to, has an account in both, in all the Gospels, but I'm going to read it from Mark, and it's going to be Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to go down verse 35, and it's a short little verse here, but I'm going to read it because I want us to, there are some things, there's some similarities here that as we begin to read this is going to remind us, if you're not in a storm right now, it's going to remind you the next time you go through a storm why it's important for us to trust Jesus, why it's important for us not to panic and worry when we are his children. So again, Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 35, and I believe I'm reading from the NIV. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall, which is a storm, came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you panicking? Why are you worried? Why are you in fear? Why are you calling your neighbor? Why are you calling the pastor?" He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Father, we thank you for your word, and we know this is a small amount of the many words that's in this book, Father. But Father God, tonight we pray that you will illuminate these words in our minds and in our hearts, that these words will become visible, Father. Lord, that these words will become rhema. Lord, that these words will give us practical solutions to our daily storms. Father God, I pray that your anointing will be on these words, that they will jump off the page and become alive to those who are listening in on tonight, to those who are listening in on tomorrow, and to those who will listen in down the line. Father, I thank you right now for the power of your word, Father, that your words are life and they're productive and they produce, Father. So, Father, I thank you for the revelation knowledge that you will give us on tonight about your words, Lord, that we will never approach another storm in our lives the same. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 hallelujah. So I want to share with you, you could jot this down. I read from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. But I want you to also know that the same account of this situation is spoken about in Luke chapter 8, 22 through 25. That's Luke chapter 8, 22 through 25. And also Matthew chapter 8. Verses 23 through 27. Again, that's Matthew 8, 23 through 27. Why am I giving you that? I'm giving you that so you know that there's three different books that you could go into that's going to give an account of this storm. And I chose to go to Mark. But again, tonight, what we're talking about is the storm of life. And whether you're dealing with a storm in the natural or you're dealing with a spiritual storm, or whatever that storm is, storms are not just, natural in the sense of weather, but they're storms of life. And I believe that Jesus gave us here. He's telling us we are not supposed to respond to these storms in panic and fear and doubt, because what it's saying is, Lord, I don't trust you. Lord, I don't trust you to deliver me out of this situation. Lord, I don't trust you that everything is going to be okay. And so even as I'm saying that, whether you ever admit it or not, God knows by our behavior and our actions whether we trust him or not. We could say we trust God all day long. Lord, I trust you. I believe, yada, yada, yada. But it's going to be our behavior and our actions that's going to say whether we trust him or not. And so if you know in your heart of hearts that you don't trust him, it would be best for you to acknowledge, Lord, I'm trying to trust you. Father God, help me to trust you. Help me to not doubt. Father God, help me to believe. See, it would be better for us to acknowledge our shortcoming, to acknowledge that sin, because that's what it is. You know, and so while we're talking about everybody else's sin, you know, because somebody's committing adultery or somebody's fornicating or somebody's having same sex, you know, all this stuff is sin. You know, somebody's drinking too much. Those are obvious sins that we see. But see, we don't see or acknowledge or talk about those what we consider, quote, little sins, or the things that we don't even realize are sin. Do you know that worry is a sin? Not trusting God, you know, those are things that's sin. And see, we don't think about those things when we're worrying about how a bill's going to be paid or worrying about our children, you know, whether they're doing, are they okay? Oh, Jesus, are they okay? We worry. That's not a sin. And if we're not even careful, even with the word could become idolatrous, where we're becoming, you know, we're idolizing, we're idolizing fear. Have anybody ever did that when you have a situation and before you know it, it's so out of control that you just stressed out, you're losing weight, you're stressed out, your hair is falling out, you're stressed out, you're doing stress eating, all these things that we're doing and it's saying to God, and I've been guilty, it's saying to God that I don't trust you. And so we need to acknowledge. If we don't trust, we need to acknowledge, I don't trust you, or I'm trying to learn how to trust you. Father God, I'm trying to learn how to have faith that you are, or you, that you will do what you say you will do. Well, you know why a lot of us don't have the faith to trust God? It's simple. A lot of us don't have the faith to trust God because we have to understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we're not hearing the word of God, then we're not, it says faith comes. So faith ain't coming to us. Why? Because we're not hearing the word of God. We're not meditating on the word of God. We're not studying the word of God. So that faith is not coming. And if we want to build our faith muscle, if we want to build our faith muscle, the word of God is telling us that in order to do that, the way you would do that is get into the word of God. So that tells me that the more I read the word of God, the more my faith increases. But there's another way that your faith increases. That's the number one way, because you got to know what the word of God says. Because if you know what the word of God says, then you know what God said he will do. See, if I don't know that God would deliver me, then I'm not going to expect God to deliver me. Why? Because I don't know that. If I don't know that he's a help in present danger, guess what? I'm not going to expect for him to help me because I don't know that. So if I'm not in his word, then I don't know what he'll do. I don't know what his promises are. I don't know what his commitment is to me as a believer. And many of us accept the gift of salvation. Many of us accept the gift of salvation, but we never understand what's all included in that. That's like going on a vacation to a faraway land, and you accepted the ticket to travel, but you never asked, is this all inclusive? What does this ticket cover? Is this just the flight? Will I have food? Would I have shelter? You know, who would accept a plane ticket to Aruba and not ask the detailed question? And that's what we do. We accept the gift of salvation, but then we don't ask the question. What, some of us don't even know for sure if we really know for sure what salvation is. But we know that, you know, it has to do with this man named Jesus. That was the Son of God, and God so loved the world that he sent them. And you know, as long as I say I believe, or I believe, then you know, then if I die here, I'm gonna go to heaven. And that's how most people are living at that base level. That's all I know. That's all I need to know. I just need to know that once I get through living this life, I'm gonna go to heaven. But it's so much more to it. It's so much more to just wanting to go to heaven or wanting to just make it into heaven. God has so many promises for us. He's created us for greatness. He's created us for things. There's a purpose that we are, you know, it's a purpose. You know, he wants us to get familiar with the purpose maker. God wants us to get familiar with the purpose maker. The purpose maker is Jesus. He wants us to know who his son is. He wants us to begin to trust him. He wants us to know him. He says, he calls us friends. And it also says that we can't really truly understand and know the Father if we don't know the Son. Because the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit become one. So if we don't know him, and we got to know him through his word, because Jesus is the living word. So we got to know the word, because as we know the word builds our faith. As our faith builds, then we begin to trust him. So when these things in life begin to hit us, we begin to trust. Panic won't be our first recourse. You're not going to first panic. Because why? You're trusting God. You're trusting God that for every area of your life, trusting God for every area of your life. And so we only do that through building our faith muscle. We're doing that, like he said in Mark chapter 4 that we just read, you know, he said to them, why are you afraid? They were there with him. They were there with the living word. And yet, they done seen miracles. They done seen the dead rise. They done seen so much stuff. They seen it. And they were there, and yet fear had overcame them. And he asked them, what was the question? You mean to tell me after all you've seen, after all we've been through together, you don't have no faith? What does that say? It really says, you still don't know who I am? And they didn't, because in the last verse it goes on to say that they were terrified, and they began to ask. Spoke to the wind. He spoke to the storm, and these disciples who had been with him turned around, and they were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? You've been with him all this time, and you're still asking, who is this? That even the winds obey." But they have seen so many different miracles. And we, no different than the disciples. We no different, because we're doing the same thing in our lives. We are asking those questions, whether we're speaking them out loud or we're doing it by our actions. We're saying, who is this? That even this happens, or even that happens. Who is this that does this and do that? We still panic when things happen. We still get concerned. And I'm not saying that's the natural thing of the flesh to do. But again, in his word, he's still also constantly teaching us that in this flesh is no good thing. And we got to learn how to be masters of our flesh. And so many of you may have said up on the word. I don't know what your church is teaching. I'm not saying that. But how many of you practice fasting? How many people, truly practice fasting? The whole purpose for fasting is not to lose weight. It's not because everybody else at the church is doing the Daniel fast, or we're doing a corporate fast together. I'm not saying nothing wrong with it. But who told you to? Did God tell you to fast? Did God okay you to do that? Because when you're fasting, that's a one-on-one. And you could do fasting for particular reasons, like you could do fasting for our communities. You could do fasting for our country because maybe you really need to seek God on something. But fasting is really for discipline. Every time Jesus went away to the wilderness, he went away to fast. And why did he do that? He went away because he recognized that he was in flesh. He recognized that he was in a sinful nature, which was the flesh. He mastered that flesh because he spent the majority of his time with his Father. He would set himself apart. He would come do what he needed to do. He would hang out with his disciples. But he always took time away to go pray. He always took time away to go and be still before his Father. He always took time to pray, to hear what God was speaking to him. He took time away to put this flesh under control, to master the flesh, to be disciplined. Being undisciplined probably is the biggest problem for many of us. If you got a weight problem, it's because you're undisciplined. If you got a financial problem, it's probably because you're undisciplined. If you are going through relationship, it could be because you're undisciplined. If you haven't, it's undisciplined. Why? Because when the flesh wants what it wants, And if you can't get to a point where you now begin to dictate to your flesh what it can have and what it can't have, guess what? Your flesh is going to have you doing everything. It's going to have you fearing in the midst of the storm. It's going to have you mad. It's going to have you angry. It's going to have you frustrated. It's going to have you sick. It's gonna have you spending money that you ain't supposed to spend. Why? Because I want it. That's what the flesh say. I want it. No, I want it now. Or want it now, right now. Not yesterday, but right now. Has caused a lot of problems. Think about it. We are in a microwavable world. We want everything now. Everybody wants things like yesterday. So now we got boxes that we can push buttons and set to a certain time and push the on button because I want to win now. I want to get married now. So I go, what? Get married. Now what? You've been married 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 times. Why? Because you wanted to get married now. You didn't care nothing about being a wife or being a husband. You just wanted to be married. I've listened to a lot of singles who have either been married before, maybe more than one occasion. And if the truth be told, when you're sitting here talking to them and you start listening, and if they're honest, a lot of Christians run off and get married. Why? Because they don't want to discipline the flesh. What you mean, Coach D? Well, because they want to have sex. I want to have sex, so I'm going to go get married. And now you marry somebody that you ain't got no business marrying. Why? Because you couldn't discipline the flesh. Same thing with health. Many are sick in their body. Why? Because they couldn't discipline the flesh. If the flesh want a double chili cheeseburger, guess what? That's what they gave the flesh. Because why? The flesh wants it now. So they gave the flesh what the flesh wanted. And because they gave the flesh what their flesh wanted, time after time after time, guess what? Now the result of that is you are what you eat. Now they're running around looking like a double chili cheeseburger. I'm putting humor in there, but it's really not that humorous because these are people that are struggling. You got people that are struggling with emotional and mental problems. And I'm not saying that all mental illnesses have to do with, a natural cause. I'm not going to say that. So I'm correcting that now. But there are a lot of mental problems that have to do with drug abuse. A result of giving the flesh what the flesh wants. I gave the flesh what the flesh wanted, and now I'm dealing with mental illness. So a lot of the things that we deal with has to do with not being disciplined. And fasting is a good thing to build a habit on doing. You know, it might just be one day. Maybe you just say one day for 2 hours. Just say, you know what, I'm going to practice this fasting thing. But make it genuine because you could be fasting the steps, and we talked about matters of the heart last week. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Why are you doing it? What's the purpose? Because you could be fasting, and you fasting, and you still don't talk to your brother because y'all fell out 3 years ago because of something he said. But you fasting on a weekly basis. Something wrong with that. So prepare your heart. Prepare your heart to then go into your fast. You know, prepare your heart. What do you mean prepare your heart? Prepare your heart in prayer. Lord, what is it that you need me to do? I need to get disciplined. And how do you want me to do this? What are the things that's in my life that's blocking me from being disciplined? What are the things that's in my life that's blocking me from being obedient? And sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, he'll tell us things, and sometimes we just don't want to hear it. You mean I got to go back to her and apologize? But I didn't do nothing to her. Why not apologize to her? And even as I'm saying that, see, this message ain't just for my listening audience. This message is for me included. Because even as I'm saying that, there's a person that comes to my mind that just popped back up in my mind again as the Holy Spirit is ministering. And we got, you know, that popped up in my mind that I need to... It doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong, but that I need to make right a situation. And the only thing you can do is do what God tells you to do. If the other person don't do what God tells them to do, or they haven't got the revelation, that's between them and God. It has nothing to do with you, because this thing is for us. You know, forgiveness, obedience, discipline, that's for us. That's for that we could be in right standing. And if the other person receives it, great. Now it's a blessing for both. But if the other person don't receive it, that has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. You just do what God has told you to do. You be obedient to what God is telling you to be obedient about. You, and it goes to, and why am I saying this? And I know I'm flashing back and forth, but I want to get that. So the reason why we were talking about obedience, did anybody say that? Coach Steve, where are you going? So you always want to ask questions. So people could go places and you could be lost and you just hang on for the ride and you don't even know where you're going. So let me just recap. We recap because we got into obedience and we got into discipline and we got into fasting, because we said that fasting, the Bible makes it very clear, because we practice to do what Jesus did. Well, how we know what Jesus did? We know what he did because we read the word, and the word tells us. And so our goal is to be more like who? Jesus. So if our goal is to be more like him, and we see that he stilled away. He would take time away. He would remove himself from the crowd, and he would go before his Father, and he would meditate, and he would pray, and he would seek God, and he would be still. He would put the flesh down. No, you're going to be still right now. And that's what helped him to master. And the same thing we need to do. So that's how we got into speaking about discipline and stuff. And so the other thing, how we got even to fasting, was because we were talking about lacking faith. We were talking about, you know, we see the things that God do for us in our lives, how God has delivered us time after time after time. You know, that time when you got a bad diagnosis and yet still God turns the situation around. I mean, how many of you have had the time dial, had it moved, you know, where something was supposed to happen, or you've been diagnosed with something, and all of a sudden God came in and turned things around, and next thing you know, you go back for a follow-up, and they can't find nothing. Glory to God. You know, God's favor is upon us. So we're talking about faith. And so while we were talking about faith, and we were talking about how do we get faith, and the faith is coming by what? We said by hearing the word of God. We said by understanding what the promises of God is, and all those things. And so we were talking about faith. We were talking about faith so that when we go through the storms of life, we have enough faith to carry us through. We have enough faith to trust God in the process. Because what we didn't want to do is be like the disciples, where they became so afraid and they stopped trusting Jesus. They stopped trusting him. And then when he did take care of the situation, they still was questioning. And we don't want to be that. So he shows us a good example here. This is what you don't supposed to do. If you spend the time with me, get to know me. If you get to know me, you'll know my character. As you get to know my character, you'll know what I'll do. You'll know what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And as you get to know him, what you will find out is that fear is not acceptable. Worry and doubt is not acceptable, because it doesn't tell him that we trust him. And he's looking for people that's going to trust him. Because we'll do what we trust. And if we trust him, then we'll do what he tells us to do. Why? Because we trust him. No judgment. No condemnation. Why? Because you're in Christ Jesus. So it's no condemnation, but it's the truth. If we trust him, we'll do what he tells us to do. We don't do what he tells us to do because we don't trust him. Whether we don't trust that he's able to do what he said he would do, or we just don't trust that he'll do it. We're not going to do what we don't trust. You're not going to put your money in a bank account if you don't trust the bank. I'm going to say that again. You're not going to deposit your money in a bank account if you don't trust the bank. You're not going to vote for a politician that you don't trust. Many stopped trusting Donald. So guess what? They didn't vote for him. They didn't vote for him because they stopped trusting him. You get where I'm going? We're not going to do what we don't trust. If you're not doing the will of God, then it's because you don't trust him. But there's hope. And the hope is that once you accept the fact that you don't trust him, and that's why you're having a hard time standing in his will, the good thing about it is that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess with our mouth. So we go before God and confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us. How many of you are tonight know that you're having a hard time standing in the will of God? Because if the truth be said, you just don't trust them. Father God, we thank you on tonight. Lord, we know that many times we fall out of your will, Lord, and we do things our way. Father God, we often trust too much in ourselves and other people than we do you. And you are the creator of heaven and earth. You created us in your own image. And Father God, when we truly grasp who you are, because if we don't know who you are, we can't trust you. But when we truly grasp who you are, then, Lord, we could begin to trust you. And as we trust you, Father, we will follow you. We will be obedient to you, Father. And our faith will begin to grow. So, Lord, I just ask that you forgive me, Lord, for not always trusting you. Lord, I ask that you forgive me for not following and standing in the will of you, Lord. So, Father God, I just pray for those who are listening in, Lord, that you will open up their hearts and minds. And, Father God, for those of us who have had a hard time walking in your will, Lord, because we didn't trust you, that you will forgive us of our sin of not trusting, that you will forgive us of our sin of doubt, that you will forgive us of our sin of worry, fret, and fear. And, Father God, that you will show us and help us to trust you completely, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, hopefully tonight, if you have not been trusting God, that you are now on your way to trusting him. That you're trusting him, and because you are on your way to trusting him, you will find it a lot easier to walk in the will of God. Why? Because you trust him with every area of your life. You can't trust, look, you can't trust him with your health and then don't trust him with your taxes. You know, you can't trust him with your mortgage, but then you can't trust him with your marriage. So you got to trust him in every area of your life, every area. Even the little things that you feel like are not that important to him, he wants you to know that everything concerning you concerns him. Amen. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this broadcast of Processing the Pain with our new time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Please feel free to share with friends or family. Invite them to tune in to the show. We are in a new season, and I'm expecting God to do what God does best, and I'm believing that through this platform and prayerfully through my obedience that God will continue to touch the hearts of others and that they could take tangible, practical principles and bring them into perception based on the word of God. Again, if you've done any pre-orders, I will be continuing pre-orders throughout, depending tomorrow or Sunday. Again, it's depending on inventory. I only have so many pre-order books. Once those are gone, then they will be gone, and all future books will have to be purchased through Amazon. So again, if you place your pre-order, thank you very much. Those books, I'm hoping that you will have those books in hand no later than March the 10th. We did have a little delay. We probably could have had them a little sooner, but because of not having electricity, internet, and so forth, we were unable to get those books going. So, again, you will get your books as soon as possible. Thank you so much. Tell a friend about the book. And if you have any questions or concerns regarding the ordering of the book, please email me, and I will make sure that I get back with you. That email, again, is mcdnetworkinc, mcdnetworkinc @gmail.com. So it's mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com. Shoot me an email. And I can ask any questions. If you need me to call you, make sure in the email that you put your phone number, area code first, and best time, you know, the best time to reach you. And I will reach out to you and call you. I am, again, apologizing in advance because I did have some missed messages over the last couple of days that I didn't have privy or access to. And so I am going through, and I will be making calls on tomorrow to return calls and answer off and answer questions. So, again, I thank each and every one of you for your patience, and I look forward to seeing you on next Thursday for another episode of Processing the Pain. Thank you so much. Please know that you are truly loved and appreciated.